So we say a few words on the parasha, parashat Lech Lecha. We're introduced to Avraham Avinu, and we're introduced to the first of his 10 tests. The way the Torah introduces it is Lech Lecha. Interesting to note that the last of the 10 tests, which we'll learn about in next week's parasha, is Akedat Yitzhak. That is also introduced, that God tells Abraham, also Lech Lecha. If you look at the end of Parashat Vayera, Vayera Chala Devarim Me'el, Liba'alim Nisat Abraham, Vayomer Kahnat Ben Kad Yechidecha, Asher Hata El Eret Yitzhak, Lech Lecha, El Eres Amoriyah. So there's an interesting midrash. It starts with Lech Lecha and ends with Lech Lecha. So midrash says, well, which one of these nisyonot was the harder one? Was the more difficult one? So the midrash goes back and forth, and then finally concludes that the akedah was a harder test. But it's interesting that the Midrash has a first idea, a hava amina, to think that this test of Lech Lecha was even greater than the Lech Lecha of Akedah. Now, Akedah Yitzhak, I mean, that's taking his son and that he loved. And the Gemara, the Midrash writes that at the time that God said Asher Ahavta, that means if God is saying Asher Ahavta, all the love that a father possibly could have for a child went into Avram at that moment. And still he was told to take all that ahava that you have, Asher Ahavta, because if Hashem says Asher Ahavta, it's Asher Ahavta. It's the real love. And still take it and suppress it. And the Midrash says that, yeah, we're not sure which one is a harder test. After he's waiting for how many years to have this child? It's his only child from Sarah. This is his whole legacy. But still the Midrash is saying, hey, listen, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha. It's a toss-up. You're right. The Midrash ends up saying, number 10, that was the prize. But we have to understand the Midrash, what it's thinking, to even think that the first test is greater. What's the Hava Amina, as we would say in yeshivish circles. Furthermore, we have to know, what is this language of Lech Lecha? Guess what? I'm going to ask a double question. What is this language of Lech? Obviously, if you have to go somewhere, you have to Lech. God does not have to tell Avraham Avinu, you know, pick up your feet and, you know, be a pedestrian and go walk. Well, obviously, if he's telling him to go somewhere, you don't have to tell him to take a walk. You can tell him, this is your Nisayon. Mazel Lech. As a matter of fact, we see this word Lech a few times. You see it in the beginning of this parasha, you see it at the end of next week's parasha by the Akedah, and you see it in the end of this week's parasha, Hitalech Lefanai, Ve'yeh Tamim. You see, again, God tells him this Lashon. And then, the question would be, what is this Lecha? Rashi says, Lahana'atcha, that go for your own benefit. Lech Lecha, that as if there's a certain hana'a, there's a certain benefit over here. So I'd like to explain it based on what I saw from the Admor from Slanim, based on what he is quoting from the Sabah Kadisha, Yesod Avodah, based on what he saw from the Arizal. And to me, although it's a short Devre Torah, but it has a lot of depth and a lot of perspective. The Arizal said that no two people came into this world for the same purpose and for the same tikkun. Everybody came in this world in order to fix something very specific that only they can fix, that's connected to their neshama, ruach, nefesh, the three parts of the neshama, ruach, nefesh, naram. And that's why you'll find no two people's journey is the same. No two people's situation is the same. Everybody has a tailor-made life in order that if he overcomes these obstacles that are put in front of him, that he'll be able to reach not the tikkun of his neighbor, not the tikkun of the guy across the street. His tikkun, his purpose. It's a very, very specific prescription. You know, you can't share prescriptions. You can't go to somebody and say, you know, do me a favor, I need eyeglasses, can I borrow your prescription? Eyeglasses is a specific prescription that's made for that person. You know, there's a lot of different details in the way they make the glass. So you can't just borrow somebody's prescription. It's tailor-made. So the Arizal says that everybody has to know on two levels. Number one, for himself. And number one, not to judge others. When you see some people struggling with certain things, don't judge them. You might not struggle with that item. But he was brought to this world in order to overcome this test. And that's why he's going through what he's going through. So you cannot come along and say he's a lesser person, he's a worse person, he's inferior because he goes through what he goes through. That's his item, and Hashem gives him. Certain people are born with certain midot that are perfected already. And they have deficiencies in certain areas. That Arizal says, the reason why they were born with certain midot that are perfected because he doesn't need to work on those things already. Those things were already completed in his neshama. Therefore, the area that still needs perfection, that's outstanding. That means nobody should ever judge somebody else. You don't know what his situation is. You don't know what his situation is in the previous Gilgul, what he's coming back to fix. So how could you judge him on your standard? It's possible that you could learn your whole life. Learn Torah all day long and pray all day long, and you didn't fix your tikkun. If you didn't fix that item that was outstanding that you came to metaken, and God gives the person the exact tools that are necessary and presents them with the ideal conditions in order to fulfill those life's missions. So God will put you exactly where you're supposed to be and give you the kohot and the energies in order to make rectification. Hazal say, "En davar ra yored milemala." Nothing bad descends from the heavens. Now, this is not only in the materialistic, but this is also in the spiritual, and that's a person's nisyonot. The test that a person goes through, that's his specific test in order to overcome them. And God gives him the strength to overcome those tests. And if he passes them, he makes his rectification. And to him, it's a great victory. Although to somebody else that, you know, doesn't speak Lashon Hara, for example, to him it's not such a victory. He doesn't have a, you know, desire to that. But to somebody else that controls himself, you make a party for him. It's a big accomplishment. Because he has that weakness, because that's what he came in order to rectify. So basically, everybody has the challenge to overcome his inclinations. So that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts testing Abraham, he tells him, Lech Lecha, that this is Lecha. This test is for you. This test is not for Yitzhak and not for Yaakov and not for the Shivatim. This test is tailor-made. Lech Lecha. It's a personal test that only you will have and nobody else, based on your nefesh, ruach, and chama. The Ben Ish Chai says, that's why God says, me'artzecha u'molatecha v'bet abicha. That's connected to the three parts of the neshama. Make this tikkun amnaran. The Slonim then says, that's why Rashi says, lahana'atcha. And the biggest beneficiary of passing this test will be you. Lahana'atcha. Hana'atcha doesn't mean that you'll have a physical sensory pleasure. Lanaka means it's to your advantage. If you pass this test, the hana'ah will be that you made your tikkun. That's the tikkun of self-rectification is the greatest hana'ah. So as a result, the Bein Ish Chai tells a story. I once heard that this story is actually about himself, but he gives it as a mashal of a rabbi that was falsely accused, and they brought him into jail. And they put him in a prison cell, and his sentence was for 30 days. And during the 30 days, he had solace, and he had peace and quiet. And in those 30 days, he was able to reveal tremendous secrets in the Kabbalah. And he was able to write a book revealing these great secrets in the prison cell. And when he left, he couldn't understand why God did this to him. That he had to write the book over there in the prison. And he saw in a dream three groups of little children. And the children were going up to heaven. And they told him in the dream that those children are certain nitzotzot of Kiddushah that are connected to you. Those nitzotzot were in the prison. That's where they were. The only way those nitzotzot would be able to reach their destination was by the learning of Kabbalah. So God orchestrated it that rabbi would go to that place in order to learn Kabbalah, in order to fix something that only he could fix in that space for his learning. So the Bein Ish Chai says that's everybody's tikkun. Wherever he finds himself, it's in order that he can overcome that specific situation in order to rectify something that was needed from the time of Biryat HaOlam. And if Hashem sent him here in order to do this over here. Lech lecha lehana'atcha. Well, there's two type of struggles that a person goes through. One is a daily struggle, and then one is the once in a lifetime struggle. That's the struggle of Rabbi Akiva, you know, at the end of his life, that has to give his life up on Kiddush Hashem. That's a struggle that happens in 2 minutes. But then you have different struggles that are, what we call it in America, the daily grind. That's the constant, every single day, dealing with our parnasah, dealing with our health, and dealing with our issues. And these are the problems that we call them the chronic nisyonot. Some nisyonot, bingo, they come and go. And you know, we'll call it a quick nisayon, and then you have the long drawn out ones. Don't kid yourself; those long drawn out ones are very, very difficult. Because if you know that a nisayon has a, you know, it's a today I got to be careful. Today I got to be careful. If I can pass today, I'm in the clear. Okay, so no, I got to pass through today. But if you tell me it's a 10-year ordeal, I got to live every day for 10 years going through an ordeal, that's a hard nisayon. As a matter of fact, the Gemara writes that they took Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and they threw them into the fire. But they came out miraculously. You know that already. I hope I didn't ruin the end of that story for you. But they came out alive. But the Gemara says they would not worship Avodah Zarah. They'd rather be thrown into a fire than worship. But the Gemara says, if they would have tortured them, they might have bowed down to the Avodah Zarah. What does it mean to say? Torture would be something that they would have to live with for the rest of their lives. You know, so to jump into a fire, one time jump, it's over, 2 minutes later you're in Gan Eden. All right, you pass the test. So in a certain sense, that's an easier test. But to have a long, drawn out, you know, pain and suffering for many years, that's a much more difficult thing to tolerate. So now we understand the difference between the first test of Lech Lecha and the last test of Lech Lecha. The last test of Lech Lecha is Akedat Yitzchak. The whole thing is a 3-day item. You know, by Wednesday, the test is over. So you know it's a 72-hour thing. You have to concentrate for 3 days. It's like telling somebody, listen, you got to concentrate for 3 days. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and you're good for the rest of the year. Okay, 3 days, I could, mechazek myself for 3 days. So the havamin of that midrash is maybe that last test, as great as it was, it's a one-shot deal, boom, you do it, it's over. However, the first test of lech lecha me'artzecha, that's a life changer. Here now you're going, leaving your father's house and your birthplace, and now you're changing your whole life. This is an everyday year, and especially that this was a long test. And as he was going on the way, things were happening to him, afterwards. So here the Midrash is reminding us that in the world of tikkun, there's two levels of tikkun. There's the tikkun that takes place on a daily basis, chronic tikkun, and then you have the tikkun that takes place, once in a while you get a big nisayon, and if you're able to, but they actually say that's what makes Rachel Imenu so great. We have a yahrzeit this week. What makes Rachel Imenu so great is that when she gave up her husband, so she was willing to live with that hardship for the rest of her life.
She didn't know he was going
to die. Even though she married at the end, she has to share her husband.
At the time, she didn't know.
I'm going further. Even afterwards, where she knew a week later that he married her, but it's not her husband alone anymore. So she put herself in a situation over here where she's living as the second wife under Leah for the rest of her life. That's a nisayon, that's a chronic nisayon. You want to tell me, listen, guys looking for a parking spot, you were there first. You want to tell me, tevater, give it to the other guy. All right, I give it up, big deal. Good deed of the day. You circle for 5 minutes, you'll find the spot. So, okay, what'd you do? You did a good thing. You broke yourself. Okay, fine. But here, you're putting yourself in a predicament where every second now there's a sa'ah, there's an agony. To be vater for the next one, to yield to the next person. So that's a...
Huh? She hadn't even told her.
Right. Plus she didn't even tell her, so it's the more so. So those are the two tests of Avraham, and Avraham Abinu, of course, is our father, so we have the same model in our own lives. We have the test of Lech Lecha and Parashat Lech Lecha, which is the longer of the test, that's the daily test. And then you have the Lech Lecha of Akedah Yitzchak. Ultimately the Mishnah Gemara says still Akedah was hard. Now the Lech Lecha, I will tell you, is based on that we grow from our tests. Angels do not grow. Angels are stagnant. Angels are created on a certain spiritual level, and that's where they remain. The angels are called in the Navi Omdim. Omed. Omed means he's stationary. A human being is called the Mehalech. Mehalech means he's in flux. He's always moving. Now, he can be moving up, he can also be moving down, but he's always moving. They actually say that if he's not moving up, he's actually moving down. Human beings are able to grow and elevate themselves. And how do you grow and elevate themselves? The stepping stone for growth is Nisyonot. When a person is challenged, he has to know it's an opportunity God's giving him. It's almost God's putting a step stool in front of him, and is telling him, if you can climb up these two steps, you'll be on a much much higher level. But if you kick it away, you're going to remain in a low place. So the nishyonot that a person goes to is for his benefit. That's why the Mefarshim point out that the word nisayon, which is a test, comes from the root of the Hebrew word nes. Nes is a flag. Vesa nes lekabes galuyotenu. Raise the flag of redemption. Strange. A test and a flag. And the explanation is that just like the flag is something that is elevated, a flag you wave from high, so too the nisayon is able to lift you like a flag. It's able to elevate you, to rise you. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts that stepping stool in front of you, So it means you have the ability to climb it. God would not give a person a test where he doesn't have the ability to succeed. So over here we see that when God is telling Abraham Avinu about the test, he always introduces it by Lech. Lech, which means he's telling him, grow. Abraham, you're about to have a growth spurt. We always thought that growth spurts happen up until you're 18 years old. You know, my wife always would say, yeah, let him sleep. He's growing. He needs his sleep. He's growing. And I would tell him, you got to get him out of bed. No, listen, he's a teenager. Teenagers need to get their sleep so they grow. So therefore, we always thought that physical growth spurts take place, up until 18 years old. But I want to point out to you that Avraham Avinu had this growth spurt. He was 75. And he wasn't physically growing anymore. And God all of a sudden tells him, Lech! And guess what? I'm going to tell you something else. When he was 137, God says, you didn't finish growing, Avraham. Before he tells him about the Akedat Yitzhak, what does he say? Lech! He tells him, keep on growing. You're getting another test over here. And we probably can explain, based on the Slonim Rebbe, that the three lechs that Avraham was given, one in this week's parasha, one at the end of this week's parasha, and one at the end of next week's parasha, the three lechs would be the following. That a person goes through three growth spurts in his life, spiritual growth spurts. The first is when he's young. Then already he has to make the first overcoming of his Yetzer Hara. That's when he has the Ta'avot. When he's young, his body's still hot, and he has the desires all pent up inside of him. And, he needs to run around, and he wants to have a good time and all that. So therefore, the first stage of a person's spiritual growth, where he has to overcome the Sionot, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, from your Artziyut. Artziyut is your physicality. Molatecha is your society that you're brought up in. Bet Avicha, from the bad habits that you learned when you were a kid. That's the first thing, when the youth. So now, after that, you overcame the bad. But just because you overcame the bad, doesn't mean you're a tzaddik. You just stopped doing bad. Sur mera. So therefore, the second stage is what? Hitalech lefanai ve'yeh tamim. Now, perfect yourself. Which means, you got rid of the youth's desires, which is the ra. Now, go forward and do good. Hitalech lefanai ve'yeh tamim. And then, if a person zocher, he reaches the highest level where God says, now that you've passed those two preliminary tests, now we'll give you the hardest test, which is Mesirut Nefesh. Where you have to be willing to be Mosir your Nefesh, which is the highest Madriga. So it starts off, Sur Mera, that's Lech Lecha. Aseh Tov, Etalech Lecha Yatamim. Kahna et Binchat, Chahidechat, Shera'avtav, Lech Lecha, Leres Amoriyah. That already is the highest Madriga that the Tzaddik has, that he has to be willing to sacrifice everything he has. Bechol Me'odecha, Bechol Nafshecha. And this is a lesson to us as well, that, we say, Lo lidei nisayon, ve'lo lidei bezayon. But the Mishnah Yesharim says, everybody's being tested every single day. And every single situation a person finds himself in, it's, but the only problem is, that we don't get the warning that it's a test. If you remember when you were young, all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, the TV would go blank, and it would start to beep. And the guy would come on and say, Rabotai, this is a test for the public broadcasting system. In the event of a real emergency, we would give you instructions now what to do. And all of a sudden, you thought the world's coming to an end. The TV went blank for 10 seconds. But over there, they told you, this is a test. This is only a test. When we did a fire drill in school, they told us, don't get nervous. We're just testing the system out. The problem is that a lot of the nishtiyot that happened to us, we don't get that the three-day notice. It's coming. It's coming. If they told us, listen, in 3 days from now, a guy's going to walk into the shul, he's going to get under your skin, he's going to get you nervous, don't lose your cool. Actually, you have 3 days to prepare for it. But that doesn't happen like that. The disunion of a person happened suddenly. And you have no time. So you always have to be ready. Right, you always have to be ready for what Hashem's going to throw at you. That's part of the nisayon, that you're not necessarily prepared for it. Nonetheless, the fact that we have nisyonot, that's actually spiritual growth spurts. And you can't say, well, why did I get this nisayon, he got that one. One guy has a nisayon in his health, and one guy has a nisayon in his parnasa, and one guy has a nisayon in family life, in his family goings on. So you can't say, well, I wish I would have had, you know, if I had a choice, I would have taken the parnasa one. What are you talking about? That's like saying, I'd rather wear his glasses than the one that would give me a vision correction. You can't. You'd only see blurry. So it's consoling to know that everything that comes after the Shemaim is good. If anybody heard last night, she would have heard a longer version of this. But nonetheless, that's the lesson of the Rav, that the Nishyanot of Avraham Avinu were both styles. The long Nisayon of life that we go through, and then the short Nisayon of Akedat Yitzhak, both are difficult, both are lehana'atcha, both are to his benefit, grows from both, and both have the result of lech. As a result of that, Abotai, I'm going to have to excuse myself because I have a levayat to attend. And that's at 9:30, and it's 9:15.